This is retired Fire Chief Tom DeSourcy, and you're listening to Firefighting in Canada, the podcast, brought to you by VFIS of Canada, a division of CVIS Incorporated, Canada's largest insurer of firefighters since 1991. The Canadian Association of Fire Chiefs has released their annual fire department census, and the numbers aren't surprising, in particular when it comes to the needs for more firefighters, updates to aging apparatus and equipment, and the lack of budget to support this. These issues are indeed mirrored, if not amplified, in Indigenous fire departments. Michael Seth is the fire chief in Six Nations of the Grand River, Ontario, and joins me from there today. Chief, welcome to the podcast.
There you go, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
I want to know more about your community, but first, more about yourself, your journey in the fire service so far.
Well, my journey's been a long and strange one, to be honest with you. It's been very interesting. I started in 1988 when I was 14 years old. I started as a junior firefighter, but at the same point, still responding to calls, still learning the firefighter tactics of the day. Back in the, and you and I can remember this, and we've reminisced over it, is the petticoats and the hip waders. So that's what I started out with. And being able to see the progression of the fire service in general, but in my own community through the last 37 years has been fantastic. It's been crazy. And being a part of that journey has been great. So I started, my dad was was retired as a captain, a volunteer captain of the department. And I've carried it on ever since. And a few stops in between, I was the inaugural paramedic chief for Six Nations as well. And I did that for about 6 years. I was the fire chief in the city of Thorold in Ontario, the fire chief in the county of Brant in Ontario. And most recently, I was the fire chief and director of emergency services in Cape Breton Region Municipality in Nova Scotia. So it's come all the way around for me to be back home and be able to get back to where I belong and look after my home community.
It certainly gives you the opportunity to learn from all these stops along the way, so to speak, and in particular to the far east coast of Canada to see what goes on, so to speak, from, I guess, well, you're used to a composite department, but certainly a regional setting. What did you learn from all that?
I learned that the grass isn't always greener on the other side of the fence. I learned that there's everybody has their own issues and concerns and challenges. I learned that there's different ways of managing and leading through some of those challenges, and there's different ways to enjoy and embrace the successes that come out of that.
Tell me more about Six Nations, in particular some of the risks and vulnerabilities that you have and the makeup of the department. How many people, and again, I mentioned composite, but tell us more.
So Six Nations Fire and Emergency Services is a composite department. We operate out of four stations. We have one of our stations is also a training center that's utilized by local municipalities and other First Nations and private industry for training purposes. We currently operate with 44 career staff and 36 volunteers. And we're ever evolving with our next step, hopefully in 2025, to move into an accreditation process under CPSC.
Wow. What would that mean to the department?
Well, the biggest thing that we would be utilizing it for is business case development. So our council invests 90% of our budget from community funds, and 10% is funded by the Federal Department of Indigenous Services Canada.
I didn't know this until I did some research, but Six Nations, demographically, the largest reserve in Canada.
Yeah, we have on reserve population of about 15,000 people. We have a transient population somewhere in a range of about 20 to 30,000 people per day that come here to enjoy the amenities that we have here, the lavish green forest, the Grand River, the cultural mosaics that we got going on. We've got a lot of cool things. We have a lot of industry here that's very very popular for a lot of different people.
What challenges in terms of response? I think of risks and vulnerabilities. Every community has them. And how about you? Your department has some challenges in terms of response?
Well, we do. Like, one of the biggest challenges that we have is being in Indigenous communities. We don't have any enforceability under any type of legislative requirements. If you're looking at Ontario, Ontario has the FPPA that governs the fire service and regulated with the Ontario Fire Code. We don't legislatively have that ability to enact those type of pieces of legislation within our community. So it becomes a bit of a free-for-all. So someone who wants to build something in their backyard, there's nothing saying that we can stop them. And there's nothing saying that it's not allowed. And we have numerous factories, we have numerous buildings, we have a bunch of things that are being built. And some of them perhaps not in the best place to be built within a heavy populated residential area. Some of them in questionable design processes and whether or not they meet the expected fire codes or building codes.
Do you in your community, much like other communities, answer to a local government then? You have a certainly a higher, I guess, higher level up the chain, so to speak?
We do. And then through that process, I report directly through the CEO of Six Nations to the elected council.
In terms of the local government, I mean, in a lot of communities, I mean, I'm thinking back to my day, you know, certainly in my fire department, dealing with a local government, they certainly have their ideas, their plans and direction. Do you get that kind of guidance in your community?
Yeah, somewhat. We provide an open stream of communication back and forth from the administrative to the political side. And it's important to have each side of that on the same page so that we're continually moving forward. And it's important to be able to have those discussions where they're not lining up so that we can overcome those challenges and those obstacles that come in our way for the best outcome for the community. And it's important. And through that conversation as well is to talk about how the outcomes what we're looking for is not, it's not Chief Sath's want. It's something that I'm recommending for the best outcome for all of the residents and visitors that we have in this community on a daily basis.
Although you're a composite department, do you share in the volunteer paid on call side, do you share the same challenges in recruitment and retention that everyone else seems to face?
Absolutely. We struggle with getting our own volunteers from within the community. We struggle on maintaining our own volunteers. We even have a bit of a struggle in maintaining our career staff, just simply because a lot of them will come here and they'll do the learning side of things and it'll be a stopover. We function very much like a farm team. And to be honest with you, we're kind of good with that, but we also want to be able to sort of start tightening that up for all of us so that we have a consistent group of responders that will be providing service to the community.
I think we started to embrace that many years ago. It was often frowned upon when people would leave us, so to speak, and we tried to keep everyone, but you have to, I guess, give in and say, we're training you to the best that we can. And yep. Because someone else wants you, that's a feather in our cap, I would guess.
Yeah, we've recently reached out to the Ongwahome Technical Services organization here, that they're a trades organization within the community. And we're running a pilot program that we're going to train, I think, 15 members of our community to become full-fledged firefighters. And be ready to hit the road running for any type of career employment that they're seeking.
It's remarkable. The outset of the show, I did allude to the fact that, you know, certainly in many Indigenous communities, the fire service faces, you know, challenges that are even greater due to remote locations and limited access to resources. And budget constraints often mean that firefighting equipment is outdated or insufficient. Your thoughts on again, your comparison to Six Nations versus, well, the Indigenous Fire Service across Canada?
Yeah, even during my travels when I was working in the municipal setting, there's disparities throughout. Like in Cape Breton, we found a number of systems that were broken there we had to fix. When I first became the chief here at Six Nations back in 2004, I had to decommission three of our frontline apparatus because they were not legally competent to be on the road. So it's all of those growing pains and being able to see how things grow and develop. And even just from the original stuff that I used to do in the past with the Indigenous Fire Service, to see where it's developed to now and see where the focus is going. It's very, very promising. And the fire service in general, the way that everybody's moving in the same direction of the professionalization of the process and the individuals and ensuring that we're meeting all of these codes and responsibilities. And it's just a fantastic thing to go to see all of that thing, all of that change.
When we started, you know, you alluded to that when we were younger and had the outdated equipment, we didn't know back then. I mean, that was the way it was. And we evolved. I would like to think that the entire fire service in Canada, Indigenous or otherwise, is starting to evolve or is evolving. Would you agree?
100%. Everybody that I've talked to, everybody that I've seen, there's an evolution that's happening, whether it's a rapid evolution, a slower evolution, but things are changing. And some of it is the motivation coming from the younger people coming into the leadership realm. Some of it is driven by legislation changes. Some of it is driven by just by the need based on the community, because a lot of communities in Ontario, you're finding, and throughout the country, they're growing exponentially and very rapidly. So the fire service at the same time has to keep up.
There's a lobby right now afoot from the Canadian Association of Fire Chiefs for a national administration for the fire service. I want to ask you about the Indigenous Fire Marshal Service. Is that the same, or is that should be the same, or do you have any relationship with the Indigenous Fire Marshal Service?
I have a good relationship with them and then their membership there. And it's important to understand that this is the first step in the Indigenous Fire Service with its little intricacies for them to be able to, I guess, flush out those first within the Indigenous areas and be able to bring them up to speed, bring them up into that evolution with everybody else so that we're all talking the same talk. We're all on the same page. We're all moving in the same direction. And even looking through numerous Indigenous communities that I know, you can see that change. You can see the communities embracing it and moving it forward. And it's just a matter of time before on a federal level, we have a National Fire Administrator that will now begin to tie not only the Indigenous side of things, but the municipal side and even the private side for that matter, so that we're all talking the same talk and moving in the same direction.
And should the Indigenous Fire Marshal Service be a part of that conversation when it comes to the administration or the national administrator, or should they be together or separate still?
It's my understanding they're already the part of that conversation with the CAFC and the processes that are in place. The National Indigenous Fire Safety Council is supportive of the administrator at a national level. So it's something that's going to be some to tie everything together. And there's going to be room for, say, the CAFC to have our voice, the OAFC here in the provinces have our voice, but having an overarching national body that will set the direction, set the tone, and set the standards is going to be, I guess, a big component of that evolution moving forward.
Clearly, you know what's going on outside your community. And I often profess that to other fire chiefs have for years, to say you need to get outside of your box and understand the way things work away from you. Reiterate that. Tell me how important it is to know what's happening outside of Six Nations and be a part of the national picture.
100%. That's one of the big reasons why I left the position in the first place. Having served as the fire chief for 11 years originally and plateauing in my career at that point, it was time for a change so that I could see what else is out there and make these connections and be able to understand who the players are, what has happening, how does it apply. And I made comment to my current assistant chief when I left that I said, I'll be back in 10 years, maybe 15 years, whether I'm back as the fire chief or back as the CAO or what my role is going to be. But I have intention of coming back and sharing what I've learned. And that's exactly what I'm doing right now, is coming back with all of those years of learning the good, the bad, and the ugly, and trying to apply it here and trying to fix some of the stuff that went wrong that I've seen, and be able to learn from those errors.
Looking inside, how did that change you, that time away?
I'm a lot more, I guess, a lot calmer. I'm a lot less driven by my heart and driven by my head. So it's a better linkage. In the past, I was very, very driven by my heart. This has always been my home. This has always been my baby. It's been here since I was 14 years old. And having to be able to leave the nest of mom and dad to realize that, you know what, this is the best place to be, is back home. And that's exactly what happened. And that's what I've been able to do. And take all of that stuff that I've learned and reapply it here on how we're going to improve our services to our community and our community members and our visitors.
To the firefighters and chiefs, current and future chiefs, officers that are listening across our country, I often talk about the partnerships, and I know you're a fan of partnerships with community, with industry, with neighboring departments. Speak to the importance of partnerships when it comes to being at the top of the fire service.
It's fantastic. Like, which is with the positions that I've traveled through now, I've been able to reconnect with a number of people from my paramedic days. I have a very strong connection throughout Ontario with the OAFC and then within the CAFC across the country, whether they're municipal, doesn't matter which province. We have a lot of common friends throughout the country that we talk to, and those type of friendships develop through the professional basis, become personal friends. It develops that network so that we have somebody that we can lean on that isn't being directly affected by some of the stuff that we're being affected by, and has a clear head to basically say, Chief Seth, back up, look at it again, because this may not be the right way to go do it. And thankfully, with the friendships that I've made, it's been exactly like that.
Do you, I'm guessing, do you understand that the you must have some influence with the Indigenous Fire Service across Canada for the other communities that are listening and looking toward it, looking forward at Six Nations and going, wow, we can do that too. Is that the message you'd like to give?
Absolutely. Whatever we've done, we've had the opportunity to go through all of the trials and tribulations and the growing pains. I'm open to having people come here and learn whatever I can teach, whatever I can allow not only the Indigenous Fire Service, but the municipal for that matter, impart some one piece of wisdom along into that system would be fantastic, and be able to leave that mark in a positive way with somebody so that 20 years down the road, when I'm sitting back and enjoying retirement, much like you are, I'll be able to look back and go, you know what, I've made a difference, and it's been a positive difference in someone's life, in the industry's life, or however it works out.
What's the long-term goal for the Fire Chief of Six Nations in terms of the department moving forward?
Well, the biggest one is moving towards the accreditation. We are currently in the process right now of our community risk assessment being completed. We're doing station location studies. We've developed our own governance documents. We have a lot of moving parts right now in the last year since I've been back. And thankfully, council has been on board with making these changes and moving us forward with everything. And we've got a great working relationship, and we're willing to share. We've got opportunities here for our neighboring municipalities, our internal and external industry for that matter, and our partners locally with our paramedic and our police service.
Thanks, Chief, for doing this. I appreciate it, and good luck. Continued success to you guys.
Always a pleasure to chat with you. Take care, my friend.
This has been Firefighting in Canada, the podcast, brought to you by VFIS of Canada, a division of CVIS Incorporated, Canada's largest insurer of firefighters since 1991. Visit firefightinginCanada.com for more episodes.